I want to make sure I remind those worshiping online with us at home or in your travels this summer. I know many people are traveling just now to prepare something to eat and something to drink as we come to celebrate the Lord's Supper in just a few moments. I want to also remind those who are visiting with us, as well as members, to complete the friendship sheet you will find in the bulletin. Once you complete it, just leave it in the pew. Thank you to those who gave us updates on telephone numbers, because many people have dropped their landlines and they're giving us the preferred telephone number and an update on any address change. So thank you as we update our records this summer. We have added one message to this series on the whole armor of God. I teased you last week to say, after God giving us all of this armor, what will be next? What will Paul tell us to do next? And so we learn that in this reading that continues after being given the armor and having the armor described for us. And so the sermon title for those worshiping online with us is simply, In Addition to the Armor. The reading comes from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm reading beginning at verse 18 to 23. This is what Paul writes after the armor. He says, Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. And then Paul ends this chapter, verse 21, telling of personal matters and offering a blessing to us. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus will tell you everything. He is a dear brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, to let you know how we are and to encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord and our God, as we come before you, send your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may hear your word and that we may see what you want us to be and to do. In Christ's name, help us to do and be just that. Amen. Well, over the summer thus far, we have been studying the armor of God from Ephesians 6. I shared with you at the very beginning my resistance because of my relationship to this particular passage. I began studying this passage as a teenager as I led our vacation Bible school when I was 17 years of age. And so I resisted bringing this before you on a Sunday morning because I feel like a teenager talking to a bunch of children. But what I have come to realize in addressing this passage and embracing it is it has great truth for us in these times, not only as children but as adults, to understand the evil that exists in the world and our call to be prepared to face that evil, and we are called to face it. The Apostle Paul reminded us over and over in the first part of this chapter, he reminds us that we are in a battle, not against flesh and blood, but he reminds us in four different ways that the battle is against the powers of evil. And he calls us then to stand firm over and over so that we may be able to withstand the tricks of the evil one. And then he gave us what God had given him to describe for us, the armor of God, the protective armor, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, which are so important, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. And then, as we discussed last Sunday, at the very end of those pieces of armor. We were given the first piece of armor that wasn't just for defense or for our protection. We were given the sword of the Spirit, which Paul describes as the very word of God, or as we discussed, even the sayings and teachings of God. We need the whole armor. And we need the whole armor because the Christian life is not a lazy, easy stroll. It's really more like a march. I was looking this week at the origin, thinking about this sermon and how the Christian life is not just a lazy walk. I was thinking of the origin of the word saunter. To saunter, like let's go saunter through the park, to take an easy stroll, if you will. No worries, just to saunter. That word has an interesting history. The word comes from a French word, sanctuary, which is the word for Holy Land. Sanct, which is, of course, the root word for sanctuary, and terra, which is the word for land, Holy Land, sanctuary. When the Crusaders were going to the Holy Land in the Middle Ages and even before that to the Sanctuaire, they would travel through France. And there were Christians, when they learned of these pilgrims that were making this long trek to the place of Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection, they would often offer these pilgrims on this long journey, they would offer them a place to stay, lodging, and they would offer them food. Now you can imagine, it wasn't long before some deadbeats learned that they could pretend to be going to the Holy Land. They were called later in jest the Sanctarians. They pretended to go to the Holy Land so they could get a free night's room and board. They had no intention of going, but it was a great way to get a free meal. All of which is to say, as we have learned in this series, life journey is not that of a saunter, especially if you embrace the Christian faith. It's not a pretense. There's no pretending at all. Life comes at us very real in this journey, and we know that. It's not just a joyride, and it's not something we should take for granted. We should make every day count. And even though it's not a joyride, if we practice the Christian faith, we will find that there is incredible joy along the journey of faith. But it's not a stroll. It's not a saunter. It's more like a march. Because it is often, as we have said over the previous weeks, it is often not easy, it is hard, and that's why we must remember during this march that God is always for us. God is always providing for us. God is always providing for us so that we can stand firm. And that's why I liked in particular that affirmation of faith we said together this morning, the brief statement of faith. Because it reminds us on this journey that in life and in death, we belong to God. Which is to say that part of the Christian life is to be defiant to the evil out in the world. For example, when we go to a memorial service or attend a graveside service of someone that we know, attending one of those services is really an act of defiance as people of faith. Because at the grave, when we gather around that person who has died in the faith, we aren't just optimistic on that occasion, but we are filled with hope because we defy the powers of evil and the power of death, and we live as hope as people because of what is promised. And so we come to all memorial services, yes, with joy, but also with a sense of defiance. And that's good. That's what God calls us to do, to be defiant against the forces of evil and to march on. I want to tell you the story this morning of Roy McLean. Now, you don't know Roy McLean, perhaps, unless you lived in Atlanta during the 70s and 80s. I was fortunate in the early 80s to be in seminary in Decatur, Georgia. And I knew of Roy McLean. I knew of his sermons. I knew of his stories. I knew of his ministry because he was pastor at the First Baptist Church of Atlanta, Georgia. And he had often served in the Second World War as a chaplain. And many of his stories from downtown Atlanta reached the seminary, and I could hear them ever so often being preached by some of the students there. But he was well known, so much so in the 1980s that he was known at that time as one of the 10 greatest preachers in America. And so as your pastor, I can tell you I'm familiar with Roy McLean and his ministry. He often told the story when he was a chaplain in World War II of one Sunday morning worship experience. Now, he was on one of those islands. It didn't have a name, but there he was with about 100 soldiers on an unknown island south of Japan. And it came time for worship on a Sunday morning, as it always did in the field. And there they were, climbing up a ridge, and they stopped. And it was raining dogs and cats, he said. The wind was blowing so much he had to yell. And he said, "Soldiers, are you ready to worship God today?" And the response from those 100 soldiers was unanimous. They shouted back, "Yes, sir." Now, they had no hymn books. And so what they did there in ankle-deep mud and the pouring rain is they just hummed a few hymns that they knew. And then Chaplain McLean, he led them in saying together the 23rd Psalm. And boy, did they say it well together. And then he led them in the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father, who art in heaven." And they could hear one another say that prayer in the midst of the storm. And then he said to the soldiers, "Well, do you want to march on or do you want a sermon?" And the soldiers responded, "Preach it, preach it." And so the chaplain preached. After the war, when he was back in the States, he often shared in some of his radio sermons that were popular at the time this story. "I have now come back to a civilian pulpit where people sit at home on cushioned pews in air-conditioned comfort in their churches, where if they have to park a block or two from the sanctuary, they regard coming to church as a major insignificance." Here's the question. Here's the question for us on this July the 4th weekend. Why did that worship service for those soldiers, so far from home, why were they so hungry for it in the midst of the rain and the ankle-deep mud? And we know the answer. They realized they could face the enemy at any minute, the possibility of death, and they wanted to be reminded in that worship experience about the power and the protection of God who gave them their armor. And that's exactly why we gather, isn't it? Week after week, we need to be reminded of the power and protection of God. You know, there are times that we face events in life that are simply beyond our understanding and grasp. It is the human condition, is it not? And in the good times and in the bad times, not just as individuals, but there are times in which we need to come together as the community of faith and claim the strength and power of God. And that's why worship is so important, Sunday after Sunday. I was listening recently to Tom Long. He was a preaching professor of mine 35 years ago in seminary. And he said in one of those Zoom lectures that were quite common and still are, he said, "You know what we've learned over the course of time during the pandemic is how physical worship is. The hugs that we've missed, the handshakes, the hellos, the children, grabbing us as we run down the hall or walk down the hall, the physicality of that has become obvious with worship, hasn't it? Well, we also need to come together for prayer, to be reminded for prayer. And that's the message behind Paul's words to us. After he gives us all of that armor, he describes it for us, and then he says, in addition to it, there's something else you ought to take with you. I've shared with you before that for almost a decade, each summer, I enjoyed attending what was called a large church conference of the Presbyterian Church. It was for pastors of churches of 1,000 members or more, and we gathered in Orlando each summer, I think really so that a few of them on Wednesday afternoon could enjoy some of the beautiful golf courses that we had there. But we had a couple professors we would fly in and hear lectures during the mornings and afternoons and be in groups and seek to support one another in ministry. And one year they had a representative from the Board of Pensions of the Presbyterian Church who was also the representative of the major medical plan of the church for pastors and church staffs. And he spoke to ministers one summer, that representative did, about stresses in ministry. And oh, I have learned over the years there are stresses in ministry. And then he said to the entire group that summer, he said that week we were together, is there someone here, perhaps, just raise your hand, is there someone here who has not experienced the stresses of ministry, either in one's own physical life or in the life of a staff member or member of your church? If you've not experienced the stresses, just raise your hand. And of course, not a hand went up. We all have experienced the stresses. And it is often during such time, during the stressors, that we learn how to live and what faith in God is all about. When in some way we are perplexed by the challenges that are before us. Most people, you know, most people go along just glibly in life. They just saunter along. But life journey, most of the time, as we know, is often uphill. I want to say this to you this morning because I know there are a lot of members among us, core members. We're in our summer worship attendance. And so this is a time that if you're a guest to the church, you can just sit back because I want to talk to our members just for a minute. That's the audience I want to talk to. And the others, of course, you can listen in. You know, if we are to return to the kind of church that we knew even just 2 years ago, with Wednesday night dinners and people walking up the crowded hallways, laughing and talking to one another and sitting on benches and visiting for many minutes after the service, if we're to do all of that, if we're to launch our before and after school program and continue to grow our preschool, and engage children in Sunday school and offer vacation Bible school, then we will need to be, and I say this to you as members, as deeply committed to Jesus Christ as we have ever been in our faith. We will need to live defiantly, and that means with hope. Not to be optimistic about the future, but to live defiantly that by the grace of God, we'll be the church. And we'll be the church for that one child that needs it. And so what's the takeaway, Pastor? What's the takeaway for us from this reality in which we live in the world? Well, we all need to hear about the armor of God, and we have. But then we need to hear what Paul writes next in addition to the armor. Look with me about what he writes in Scripture at verse 18 in chapter 6. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. And to that end, he writes, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. What does that mean? Well, Paul is saying, keep all the saints, all your brothers and sisters in your prayers. And the word supplication that is used here, supplication is just a form of prayer. Lord, supply us with that which we need. Give us this day our daily bread. That's a prayer of supplication, those things we desperately need. And so just in verse 18 alone, if you look at the word supplication and the word prayer, prayer is mentioned three times in that one verse. And then note in verse 19, it's mentioned two more times. And so five times, in addition to the armor, pray, 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 pray. Pray also for me, he writes, so that when I speak, a message may be given to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. He was in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly. I must speak. And Paul did. Note, Paul asked for prayers for his friends first. He names one of those friends. And he asked not for comfort or for peace, but that he may be allowed to proclaim the mystery of God. Five times prayer is mentioned in those two verses. And so we would be well to remember that every Christian pastor, every leader in the church, every elder, every deacon, every usher and greeter at the doors, every church staff member, every teacher, every volunteer, every Christian brother or sister, everyone who is in need in this wilderness journey needs to be held up in prayer. And as Paul would write, that includes me. That includes the preacher. You know, for over 200 years now, I think they said 247 or something since this nation was founded, but over 200 years ago now, that sounds easy enough, the Constitutional Convention was held in Philadelphia. And it was Benjamin Franklin who stood before that assembly and said these words, "I read in the Bible that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. If a sparrow cannot fall without his knowledge, surely a nation cannot rise without his blessing." And after that, he proposed that at every meeting of Congress, a prayer would be given to ask for God's blessing on this country. I would say that to you, it also means for us, it means this church and every church. And that prayer was given for that first convention. And on the strength of that power, those prayers built this nation up. And so, we are all in this journey together. And that's why on this July the 4th weekend, we have looked at Ephesians 6, and Paul has asked us to do three additional things to wearing the armor: to pray constantly, to pray for others, and as Paul asks for prayers here for himself, we are to ask others for their prayers for us. That's what we're called to do in addition to wearing the armor. Amen.
Thank you.
Friends, in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus teaches us about prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. For everyone who asks receives. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. If there's any among you who, if your child asks for bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, would you give him a snake? If you then, who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? And so this day we celebrate this gift of a table of grace that God has given us. And we remember the words of God's only Son, who on the night of his betrayal took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, all of you, of it. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us lift our hearts in prayers of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Oh, you are holy, O God. You are a God of majesty and wonder. And blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. You sent him as your only begotten, in whom your fullness dwells, to be for us the life, the way, and the truth. And in him you revealed your love. And Jesus taught those who would hear him. He healed those who believed in him, and he received all who sought him out. And he lifted the burden of their sins. And so, gracious God, pour out your Spirit upon us this day, and especially upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. O Lord, help us to be your ambassadors, to stand with all those who stumble, to share in Christ's suffering, and remember all who suffer. Held in his love we are. May we then embrace all those who the world denies. And let us rejoice in his forgiveness. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. And hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, as we are bold to pray it, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." And now we partake of the bread of Christ, his body, broken for us. We are one in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we take the cup, which represents his blood shed for us, for our sins and the sins of the world. And we accept his invitation and we partake. O Lord, with grateful hearts, we lift our prayers of thanksgiving and praise to you. We are so grateful of all that you have given us, especially your body and blood for our salvation and that of the world. O Lord, enrich us with your grace that we may go from here to help those in need, and help us to live as defiant people, as people of hope, as we go out into this world. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.